Grime.
Yeah. They don't like Grime. Oh. Yeah, yeah.
I love Grime.
Shut up, man.
I actually don't like Grime. I love Grime. Just not in it as deep as Afro. That's it.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah, I think it's true.
Yeah.
I'm stuck in that, man.
Like, by default, man. When you grow up in Campwell, Campwell, you know, Campwell.
That's how it's spelled. Campwell.
Because I had Peckham in my head, didn't it? But sorry, Campbell, it's long. What else are you going to listen to other than gigs, bro? I think I was breastfeeding to talking the hardest.
That is,
you know,
so
that one.
Funny. I'm actually dying.
Oh, that's hilarious.
You know that one.
That's the nursery rhyme.
Your blood, boy.
If you're talking the hardest.
That's actually so funny. You know what do you think about gigs? Is like
SM1? Gigs is my fam. Gigs is that guy. The thing I love, yeah.
Yeah.
I love the break that Giggs got, because I feel like he paid his dues, and I feel like he was that guy, but then obviously, you know, he kind of fell off or whatever, but then his album was lit, everything about him is lit, bro.
It was just
he disappeared for a little while.
Yeah, basically, yeah.
Just put it that way. But he had this break with BET though. And they plugged
in. Oh, yeah.
There was a season BET plugged in.
Yeah. Is that when he won the awards?
Gets as well. They plugged Gets as well.
Is that when he won the awards? Yeah.
They plugged Gets as well. Yeah. Remember they were doing them that series of adverts and that.
Yeah. And Giggs is that guy.
But now, I think we understand. We got a gem. Yeah. Like, UK has a gem.
But do we now realise that? Obviously, talking the hardest, yeah. But do we now realise that because Drake has now pushed him out and it's like rah.
No.
No, but no. My thing is
we embraced our thing before then.
And after he dropped his album, that was when people put a little bit of respect on it. Yeah, and then probably. Drake came and collected it for his album. True. You know what I mean? So
true. I think the thing is, yeah, what we were already at that point where we embraced our own. Mm. It was just now to take it to the next level, which is international. Mm. You know, just finding a way to be able to break through without having to dismiss our authenticity or our uniqueness. Because I think that is what, whatever you want to say, that's what Tiny Temper did with his album. What's it called again? I forgot. I don't care. That's what he did with his debut album. Yeah, basically, like Tiny went from. And don't get me wrong, Tiny was never one of those
borrowers.
Chip as well. Whatever he wants to say, like he was chatting rubbish on his NFTR. But anyways, back to Tiny. When he did that album, and then he did Written in the Stars. Written in the Stars went worldwide, basically. Do you know the funny thing about Written in the Stars? Yeah, nobody really cares about Tiny's verse.
Yeah,
they only care about the chorus part. Mm. Even though it was on WrestleMania, nobody mentions Tiny. Only the white guy that sang the chorus. Yeah.
No one cares about
that.
Yeah.
Anyone seen him on the Breakfast Club?
Yeah.
Who
irrelevant Tiny? Interview.
Wait, you guys have never.
I've seen that.
I can't remember seeing it.
That was years ago.
That was years back, though. It must have been years back.
This is when Charlamagne was black.
Swear.
No way.
What with Roxy and Terrence.
This is when you was trying to crack America. There's a period. And this is like when we clocked, you know, the blueprint of, I think a lot of UK artists went to America to try and crack it for a bit, have that season there. You went on a Breakfast Club. That was some dry interview.
It was dead, man.
Yeah, I remember it being dead.
Go watch it.
Wait. I remember watching that, and then every UK blog using that, plugging it and saying, oh, Tiny Temper, da 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 da.
Because it was the budget interview.
Because we had nothing else. We had nothing else going on for us internationally.
Yeah, but you're like, yeah, that's true.
Yeah,
true,
so we had to plug it.
But you know what? Like, Yara told, like, you can tell us that, Yara. Like, that's what UK artists, they have a season where they try and break America, like, and we've got big exports when it comes to UK music, Adele, Sam Smith,
Ed Sheeran,
in that sense. But like, maybe in the grime sense, well, now, like, Giggs,
Stormzy,
rapper, obviously Giggs, UK rap, but I understand what you're saying, bro. Like, I get it. Like, obviously Stormzy's doing his thing. Stormzy's doing amazing too.
He's
an anomaly.
Man.
It doesn't make sense. You know,
he's
like
a hard worker, man, though. He's sick, bruv.
Yeah.
And he's got an amazing team behind him as well. Like, just smart. They're just smart. Like, you know them ones.
They know they do.
And if you think about it, Stormzy's career hasn't been as long as all the rest of these guys. Furthermore, Stormzy hasn't released as much individual singles or even projects. He hasn't released as many as all of these guys, but he's smart.
Deep how mad it is. One EP and an album. That's it. And a bunch of singles. Mm-hmm. That's it. That doesn't make sense. You know, like, the Yara could probably like confirm, but like the normal blueprint is like EP, 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 album. That's one EP.
And that album is very rare to go to number one.
Yeah. That is
very
sick.
Rare.
Didn't he outsell X Factor's number one?
He did.
Yeah.
He did. Mad.
You went toe to toe.
No, I wasn't. Because me, you see me, I would have held a party in there.
Mad.
To be like, you lot are all pagans. Because do you know what's mad? do you know what is mad, yeah? Is because I remember when I was there in 2015, and we would be in meetings and we would talk about like artists to collab with and feature with and stuff. And the way I was pushing the underground UK scene, I've been talking about people like Ray. I've been talking about Stormzy. I've been talking about all these guys, Little Sims, everything. Nah, they're not big enough. Nah, it won't do nothing. Nah, da da da, cool. Then now, when Stormzy gets a number one, you want to feature him on a Little Mix track because you want to make it look like you're on this thing. And I'm just like, why do you have to follow the trend after it comes? Why can't you set the trend?
Do you know the problem?
Like,
is?
How do you not understand that these people are amazing artists? Yeah. Why, use your ears. Stop using your brain sometimes. Just use your ears, innit? It's so stupid, bro.
I think the problem is they don't see when change is coming. And instead they react when the change is already arrived.
Do you know what? It's not even about that. They're scared of taking risks.
They're scared
of doing that because at the end of the day, if you affiliate yourself with someone who's a little bit unknown, the risk factor on your end is huge. Yeah. Because from a label perspective, what it looks like is Little Mix is a band that sells millions and millions internationally, yeah? What good would it do for them to collab with someone who the industry doesn't even recognize?
Right. Okay, but
you know what I mean?
But think about it like this. Before Stormzy released anything, yeah, he did that. No, I take that back. I think it's after he dropped Know Me From, and then I think that went 18 in the charts, he did a headline tour. Like, it was his first tour ever. And that got sold out immediately. So for me, I'm not saying that would have been the best time to jump on the bandwagon and, you know, try and sign him, because I'm sure a bunch of labels have tried to sign him. But one would have thought that, okay, there's something here. Because you don't just sell out a headline tour, your first headline tour, and it's just going to be a fluke. It can't be, you know?
Mm. But is it because they don't have A&Rs on the ground like that?
Imagine owning the masters to Shut Up.
Oh.
It's perfect.
It's like, I feel like artists are now waking up to, wait, you need to own your own stuff.
Otherwise,
they'll just take your name. It's like what happened to Lauryn Hill.
Yeah, Michael Jackson said it from time ago. Right?
Yeah.
In fact, he did own. He owns everyone else's masters.
Do you know what is mad about Michael Jackson?
Not anymore.
Does he not?
His family sold it back to Sony.
Yeah.
But do you know what's crazy, though? So even on the X Factor, for example, there are certain songs that we can't get clearance for to be performed. Yeah. And anything that Michael Jackson has written, we can't do. Yeah.
Can't do. So can they not perform it on the show then?
Nope.
You've never heard a Michael Jackson song, actually.
Michael Jackson's smart, bro. There are some Michael Jackson songs that he hasn't written that can be performed, like Human Nature, for example.
He
doesn't own Rock With You.
Billie Jean.
No, as in he didn't write it. So
he didn't write it.
But like Love Never Felt So Good, you know, have you heard that one? The one with Justin Timberlake, I think. What's his name? Timberland.
Yeah, that's a banger.
Yeah, he wrote that time ago, and that one came.
But you know, with Justin Timberlake, like that, you know, that album Justified, that was like a lot of that was Michael Jackson reject tracks. They wrote it for Michael, and they were like, Michael said that he didn't want it, and then Justin took it for the album.
He wrote 100 songs.
Yeah.
And 11 of those songs were picked for the album. I think it's like 11, 10.
Don't that sound like a Michael Jackson song to you?
Even the beatboxing.
It was written for Mike.
Mad.
It's bait, isn't it?
Yeah.
It is bait, yeah.
Boy, leverage that, boy.
There's no tunes, though. There's some
big tunes.
But they do sound like Michael Jackson songs.
So So you don't get clearance. So like PR. So do you lot have to subscribe to PRS on that? Aren't you yourselves? Like, do you know what I mean? Like, you lot are labels. Like, you lot, like the people running it.
It's mad. But basically, the Tem side have like a PRS account.
Okay.
For the X Factor. So whenever someone says, "Oh, you know, we want to perform this," we literally get like one of the runners to check to see if it's clear to perform or not. Okay. If not, then we have to get lawyers to call the publishing people or whatever. Like, my direct boss, his name is Simon Gavin, he's had like 25 years in the music industry, so he knows a lot of people. And there have been times where he's had to call David Guetta on the spot, he's had to call like whoever and be like, "Yo, listen,
we want to play your song.
We want to play your song. What are you saying?" They'll be like, "Yeah, yeah, cool, whatever."
Do they get paid for that? Or do they just do it as favours?
I think they get performance. Oh, so yeah, most of the times they do it for favours and stuff. Awesome. But they get performance money. So performance royalties,
PRS.
Basically.
PRS.
Yeah.
So like, for instance, so there's certain gigs that I do where they say, "Okay, are you doing your own songs or are you doing covers?" And if you are doing the covers, you have to list the songs that you're doing, so then the venue can clear it with PRS.
Right.
So then the artist can get paid.
And for those that don't know PRS, Yara, can you explain it a little bit for them?
Right, so basically PRS is the company that collects royalties and fees from a song or a composition of a song. So for example, if you're a songwriter, you have to have a PRS account because it basically registers the song lyrics to you. So if anyone else uses it, then first of all, they have to get clearance from you to perform it. But also if it is performed, you get money for it. Mm-hmm. Same with streams, for example. So if you're an artist, you need to sign up to PRS and your Spotify streams get paid to you via PRS.
Right.
So if you don't sign up to PRS and you put something on Spotify, you'll never see the money until you sign up with PRS because they collect the money for you on your behalf, basically.
I got a boy that did that.
Israel
Taylor. This is why you being an aspiring.
Did you not tell him?
Nah.
We told him though.
You don't tell him.
I told him. He can still sign up to PRS.
And they'll collect.
All
is not lost.
Because I don't know how many times I have to tell him.
To be fair, I tried to sign up for PRS before I did the track with Jeep. but when I did sign up for it, I went through the process, whatever, and I said, "Oh, you currently don't have anything out at the moment, so basically come back to us when it's out." So I think PRS, once you have something out there, that's when you can sign up for it.
I've always known them to be an agency.
You get get a check, is it like every 6 months?
It depends on what channel the song is on or like whatever. So like Channel 4, I think it's like every 4 months, I think.
Every 4 months. Okay.
Yeah, like quarterly.
It's quite sporadic.
Like.
Has it got radio play?
What, warming up?
Yeah. I would imagine.
I know it was on Channel 4. It was on Channel 4.
I don't know why. I just imagine that it would have been on that one.
I think it probably did get drafted. Pitched to Radio 1.
Okay.
But so did a couple other songs. But yeah, they're not done yet. But literally, I think, you just have to wait for something to come out and then you sign up to it and then they'll start. Yeah, okay, so you're legit. Let's start collecting money for you, kind of thing.
They do it across the radio as well.
Yeah,
but then the cut is fine because if you had to chase up that money yourself,
it's long.
It's all long.
Yeah.
Because they collect everything from like radio plays to performance to everything. They do everything for you.
Even if you like you're a venue and you're playing music, like DJ wise, don't you have to have?
Yeah.
You do. You can't play it out loud in.
No, you have to get clearance. You have to get some sort of clearance to play other people's tracks.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, yeah. That's what I'm saying. Venues like clubs and that.
Yeah, mm-hmm. PRS be everywhere. There is everywhere.
What songs are you gonna play in your set?
Madness.
It's peak still.
Mad.
Pick up some checks.
Trust me. What do you think of the UK music scene, Yara?
I think it's the healthiest it's ever been, especially with young artists in the UK scene. Like Georgia Smith to Ray to flipping Ray Black, Steph London, Stormzy, Krypton Conan, they need to come back, I'm not going to lie, but Wretch 32, Avelino, everyone's doing so well, especially like the underground UK scene, because we've always done well, like obviously you've got Adele, Ed Sheeran, like the big guys, you know what I mean? And I feel like what Drake was able to do with the artist here has really put a spotlight on UK artists internationally.
Yeah. I think Jay Haas would be an international.
Jay Haas.
Yes.
How can I forget my guy? Jay Haas. Yeah.
Like, I heard his album Common Sense and I was like,
Common Sense is a sick album.
It was.
Yeah.
He's the probably the only like rap urban artist that I've said, yeah, he'll bang them. I think he will bang in America.
What, the only one that would bang?
I think so, yeah.
I reckon Wretch would bang.
No.
With the right songs. Wretch would easily bang.
This is the thing, yeah. With Jay Huss, like, you just love everything about his delivery. I know why you would say that.
It's vibey, yeah.
So they can totally vibe to it.
Because his sound is kind of like Afrobeatsy, do you know what I mean? Like,
slightly vibey.
So it's like, even if you don't understand what he's saying, it's like, you'll bounce to it a little bit. But whereas if you have like a lyricist, like, I don't know.
That's spitting South East
just
London.
Spitting South East London crowd.
If you're just spitting, that's the only side you have to you as an artist. You need to know how to make songs as well.
Yeah, you know? You need to know how to make hits.
The crowd can vibe to.
Yeah.
Trevor Nelson said that, you know.
You have a lot of people that can spit and they'll go on radio, they're gonna do a set and they'll do a madness that will go on over your head and be like, wow, what did he say? But how is that gonna resonate to the mainstream, to fickle fans that you want, you know? Like, that's not gonna resonate well. You've gotta be able to make songs.
Yeah. Trevor Nelson said that. He was like, right, you don't even need that much talent so long as you can make a hit song.
It's true.
What's it like inside? So from a label perspective, yeah, how do you go from taking like talent, scouting someone to taking it right through up to like main stage headliners?
It's mad, you know. I think obviously being a part of a major label has already done most of the groundwork for you. You know, if like a president of a label picks up the phone to anyone and is like, hey, we've got a priority act, let's do this, then obviously they're going to do it.
Okay.
But again, like, this is A&R is like a department that I'm very, very new to. So I'm also learning like so much. And obviously because I'm doing it for TV as well, it's completely different. But I don't know, like, artist development starts from the very, very, very beginning. So it starts with image, it starts with merch, it starts with kind of figuring out what that artist demographic is and figuring out what their genre of music is. And then you would need to pair them up with a producer and a group and a team basically that can collaborate and write songs and, do you know what I mean? Like, just be in the studio all the time. But yeah, and for example, like, there was an artist on Psycho's label. I don't think he's on it anymore. I won't mention his name, but he wasn't part of the TV process or anything. But he was like really vibey, earthy guy. And they tried to, you know, bring him through like the whole SBTV kind of thing route and, you know, like all that kind of stuff. And obviously because it wasn't very natural to Psycho, he didn't really do well.
Okay.
So again, it very much depends on the artist and the A&R team.
Okay.
Like that's a very key part of that artist's future. If they're not paired up with the right song, with the right image, with the right product placement, with the right PR, it's long for them.
Do labels still really do artist development? Because one would have thought that labels just want to sign somebody who already has a buzz.
Yeah, no, 100%, and that's very true. But at the same time, artist development is fundamentally the responsibility of the label, whether or not they're big or not. Okay. Like, artist development is every part. Like, from album to album, there's a different level of artist development that needs to be uphold. So, like, for example, One Direction's first album was very, very different to their last album, and that takes the development of the artist. So whether it be the fact that they're getting older, so now their demographic is also getting older, so it's about what do they now look like, or what do they sound like, or what do they sing about. That's all very much artist development, do you know what I mean? Especially if it's an international artist, you're going international with this artist, it's about how do you place them in different markets. Again, that's also artist development as well. So there's a lot that goes into it. And I think any A&R would be lying to you if they said that artist development isn't part and parcel of an artist from whenever they start to whenever they end. Like, it's never ending.
Mm. Wow. I think it's tough for groups these days.
It is hard still.
I didn't see them survive that long.
What, boy bands? Yeah. Or just groups in general?
Groups in general.
Yeah. Yeah, like I saw Kelly Rowland's doing this group thing. Journey,
that thing on
Diary
TV,
or something.
Innit?
Oh, it's not. Every time
Kelly
I see
Rowland
June's
needs
Diary,
to take time and just raise her son, bruv. You know them ones?
You know them ones?
Speak on it.
You know, you know them you don't have to do stuff. You know them ones there.
You know when you've got the bees and you're just like, but you've done it.
Like, do you know what I mean? It's like, just allow it a bit.
Huh?
You actually don't have to do bare stuff.
You get me?
Yeah,
just
you don't always have to.
Raise your child.
That's probably just an ambition of hers. She wants to be able to create
your child.
I think these things have they have cycles. You go through a cycle.
Raise your child.
You know, like, take me seriously, man.
Sorry, sorry, that bro.
Take it, school.
Raise your child.
I think these.
Sorry, mute you look at just being dumb.
Wait, so.
I think these things have cycles, you know, like there probably will be a time where boy bands, girl bands, groups.
They do have cycles because think about it, yeah. Sam Smith will never release an album the same time that Adele does. Like,
because they're the same person.
You know what I mean?
I don't care what anyone
says. They are
basically the same person.
But like, there was a question I had, Yara, and I need to make sure I ask it. What was my question? It was on, oh yeah, how much say does the artist have, like, creatively? At a label like Psycho, in terms of their direction, do they kind of come in like, oh, I know who I want to be, and then you not just refine it? Or
I think this is what I'm saying. I think Psycho is so unique to other labels in the sense that a lot of the times the artists come as a delivered package anyway, because they come through the process of the show or the process of whatever.
Yeah.
But again, like, Psycho's criteria is pop, mainstream pop, right? Artists do have a say, but ultimately, when an artist comes into a label that's obviously done so well, you're gonna take the advice of your A&R.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
Mm.
And like, even for example, that guy that I mentioned before, he didn't like a specific song that they wanted to. I remember I was there at the time. We wanted to release as a single, and I remember we had a private conversation about it, and he was like, it's not really me. Like, I don't want to release this. It's too mainstream. It's too this and too that. They done it anyway because they wanted to position him as a certain artist, and he had to deep it.
What is it? What, one of the solo, when they went solo? Who you talking about?
So this was an artist that was signed to Psycho.
Oh, okay.
That wasn't from a show.
Okay, yes. Yeah. Yeah.
And he was just like, no, don't know, whatever, I don't like it.
It's not
blah,
me.
Blah, blah,
blah.
It's not me, but done it anyway.
is that like Nicki Minaj when she came out with her first album and she released that garbage? Like,
That Barbie stuff.
I think that's what they do, man. You start off with gimmicks and then
Then you can establish yourself.
Let me collect my coins now. When I'm done with that, then I can do my thing.
That's what Eminem did.
Yeah.
No, just lose it. Yeah,
he did.
He did the same thing with all these comedic tracks.
Because all of a sudden, like, after he took drugs and then, you know, did the Relapse album, like, that's definitely not the same Eminem.
Nah.
Because you know
actually, he was high when he did those albums because he said so.
But do you know what it is, yeah? What you've got to understand as well, in the industry, after every project you do, there's a rebirth. You're almost reborn as an artist. So that's even something that Beyonce said. She said she feels like she has a responsibility, like, every time she releases a new project, for it to be very different, because she knows that she essentially trickles down the vibe of the industry from what she does, and she has that responsibility. But everyone goes through a rebirth.
Somebody,
do you know what I mean?
Somebody didn't tell Bryson Tiller that.
No, somebody didn't tell Drake that either.
What are you talking about?
Nah, Drake's been reborn.
Rebirth from Thank Me Later to
Come on, man. What are you talking about?
That's a rebirth, yeah. Then after Take Care.
My brother.
The true rebirth.
I kind of hear what Enoch's coming.
No, I don't hear it still.
I'll explain it when I get his name. But the true rebirth king, yeah. The true, literally the king of pop, rock and soul, Michael Jackson. Because he went with Off the Wall, disco album. to Bad. I don't even know what kind of album that was. No, not Bad. Thriller. Then he went to Bad. Then he went to Dangerous. They all sound
completely different.
Completely different. If anything, they sound different. Like
yeah, but that's a different lane. Do you know what I mean? Michael Jackson is one of them artists where you can't even touch anything that he comes out with. It will just be epic because that's the type of artist that he is. But there are a lot of artists that don't have that maneuvering power. Like Drake is in a very specific genre. Right? So anything that he comes out with is going to be remotely similar. But the thing about Drake is that I believe that Drake is the Beyonce of the hip hop world in a sense where what he comes out with sets the tone. Because Drake was the one that done that whole soft singing hip hop.
And then
thing.
Bryson Tiller
came
through.
Then Bryson Tiller came through. Then even like Krypton Conan started doing that stuff. And then, do you know what I mean?
You can say it was Drake still. You can say it was Drake, but I have this theory
that it was.
No. So this is how I see it.
The dream.
There's a family tree of the singer rapper, the soft guys. Yeah. And the guy that started it, No. It's LL Cool J. And he doesn't even sing. Like obviously he did the lovey dovey stuff, yeah, and that gave everybody the opportunity to be able to sing about, to rap about girls and whatnot, yeah. So it's LL Cool J is the granddad. Ja Rule is the next Donnie.
R. Kelly.
Yeah.
You can even say R. Kelly.
Yeah, yeah.
He didn't really R. Kelly's
like the uncle of
the... somewhere.
He's the king of R&B,
but LL Cool J is the guy.
You're right, still.
He started
You're
it.
You're right, still.
But he doesn't rap, though, R. Kelly.
Ja Rule did have it, you know.
He did, still.
He took it. He had the 2000s, and then 50 came and destroyed him.
2000s, he took it.
He did.
No,
I didn't even mention 50. 50 is probably like after.
Yeah.
No, but it's 50. Is 50 the same as Drake? Like that's a different lane.
The influence is clearly there.
Okay,
because
the influence.
Because in terms of songwriting and choruses, like 50 wrote his choruses.
True.
So and he didn't sing, but he just spoke, but it sounded like something. There was a tone.
Mm.
So okay, let's. So, Drake here from Comeback Season, right? Is that an EP?
No, that was a mixtape.
Mixtape. Yeah. So some from Comeback
with,
Season.
Room for Improvement, though. That's the first mixtape.
How different does Comeback Season? So think about Comeback Season itself.
Yeah.
How different does that sound from Thank Me Now?
Later.
The actual or Thank Me Now the track. You can Thank Me Now.
Oh, that track.
So. And think about the time scale as well.
How different? So, okay, Comeback Season was 2006. Thank Me Now was 2010.
Mm-hmm.
4 years difference. And you're talking about the tracks.
Sounds, yeah, the tracks. So you're specific
talking about,
tracks.
Are you talking about the mixtape?
And these are like...
The mixtape and the album, you comparing those two? Or are you talking about...
Well, to be fair, like, a lot of people will name their album after the actual track. That,
so are you talking about the Comeback Season track? Are you
talking about the track?
Okay.
What's the difference, bro? Tell me the difference.
There ain't one.
That's what I'm saying. So from Thank Me Now.
You can't really.
So from Thank Me Later, the album, yeah?
Yeah.
Going into Take Care.
Yeah.
That is, to me, that's a rebirth. That is a rebirth because he changed. I think that's why I saw the change because I was like, Camera. What's that? The track of Camera and Game, sorry, called Camera Phone, I think.
No, that's not Drake.
There's
he did do
one
a track
about
with
camera.
Game though. That was a banger.
On camera,
I thought that was wavy.
I know which one.
Only
yeah, it's called Camera. Like, cameras, yeah. Good ones.
Cameras, yeah. See that sounds different. Like,
yeah.
I personally think Drake music. Like, you know Drake music when it's Drake music. I don't feel like every project he comes out with is a rebirth.
Not necessarily. I think if you want to talk about rebirths, yeah, he probably did that with the playlist as well. Because it was international. And what he did...
That playlist was so fire.
Funny enough, yeah, what he did with that playlist is that it made a lot of other artists embrace their nationalities. So look at Omarion doing that tune. Don't even know what it's called. Don't care. and then French Montana did that tune with... What's it? That, you know, that skinny youth from Ray Shremmerd. Well, they're both skinny, so it don't matter. But like, he did that tune. And he's like, oh, now French Montana is now Moroccan. Like, he's now embracing all
Moroccan.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah,
it's
waking people up.
These times he don't even know the producer, that produced Unforgettable. He needs to take several seats in Morocco, bro. That's mad. How can you not know the producer that produced your banger, bro?
And you can tell that Drake is a very musically educated person.
He is, man.
Oh, of course.
And he's very musically experimental as well. I rate him still.
His uncle is like a pioneer bass player. Like, he invented slap bass. You know that sound that a lot of disco music has? His uncle was the guy that inspired a lot of those bass players, all those kind of sounds. So he is very well musically educated in terms of like knowing his stuff, like knowing his music, let's say. And I feel like a lot of the samples that are played in these tracks, I feel like he's involved in the choosing of those samples.
Definitely. How many people really know Black Coffee?
Exactly. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying.
How many people? Not that many people outside.
Some producer would know. Like some producers actually know.
Of course they will.
Yeah. That's mad. Yeah. I feel like Drake has a say on it, majorly.
100%.
Yeah.
He's a creative man.
Yeah, he is.
He's a proper. From when he's been acting.
Where does he go now? Where does he go now?
See, this is what I'm saying now. There has to
that's
be...
My
I want a full rapping album. Mm. No singing.
I would love that. I would love that.
That would be good.
That would nothing like was that. The same vibe.
Yeah, I want that. That would
I want
be good.
No, you know what?
I want that. I want the So Far Gone vibe, but we'll never get that again.
I want a collab. I want a collab album, like a full on back
to
back.
No, but like the future one.
Kind of like Damian Marley, Nas, or like...
No, I want... If he's going to do like a collab, yeah, I want him to go with somebody who is obviously lyrically on his level and...
I'm just trying to think, lyrically singing or lyrically rapping?
I would like a Rick Ross Drake.
Nah,
man, that's
that
dead.
Would be nice.
You which type like? Of lyrical matching
nah,
is that?
No, obviously, that, I'm not nah. saying obviously lyrically, like who's better lyrically though?
Nah,
I want Drake and Jay Huss.
Ooh.
I want Drake and Jay Huss.
That would
that's
be good.
I want. That would be nice.
I want Drake and Stormzy, bro.
Yeah,
that would be dirty, fam.
But you know them
no,
ones,
Stormzy
yeah?
would batter Drake, though.
Yeah, he would.
I can see that. And not because of lyricism, but because of delivery.
I feel like Drake would sound like
delivery
a beg on it.
Presence.
I feel like Drake would sound like a beg on it.
He would sound like a beg.
Batter Drake on tracks.
Yeah, he would.
He'd batter
delivery
him.
Wise.
Yeah, see, now, delivery
you need someone
wise,
who's going to be able to match. It's like I watched the throne kind of thing. Different flows, but the same.
No, Av could do it as well, you know.
Av, you reckon?
Avelino and Drake. Drake would retire. Like, he'd have to retire.
He'd have to take time off. Yeah.
He wouldn't even do it with Av.
Oh my goodness, I'm deep in it.
Av would
if Drake made a track with Jay Huss, it would be an anthem.
It would be an anthem.
It would be an anthem.
It would be.
It would be played in every club. It would be one of them roll-up tunes like, rah, woo, 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 pull up, pull
He's
up, pull
up. Thinking about it.
No, Patrick, if you're listening, work it out, bruv. Kilo, if you're listening, work it out.
Yeah.
I know his management and the A&R that works for him, like works with him, but it's mad. That would be sick.
Straight up.
That would be
straight up.
Mad too.
That's what I want. But yeah, anyways,
back to it. Where does Drake go? Where does he go from here?
Jay Huss, that's where he goes.
He goes to Jay. He should carry on this way. He's with BBK. Like,
yeah, he should carry on this way.
I feel like he needs to sleep for a bit, though. You know them ones. You can't just be out here churning. You have to take time because
be missed.
Yeah, that's the thing. He needs to do that.
Okay, put that on the T-shirt.
He did say he'd be back in 2018.
What's your favorite Drake album?
So Far Gone.
Take Care.
That's a mixtape.
That's a good question.
Rapping, nothing was the same.
Oh.
So Far Gone.
Take Care.
That's it.
I think Take Care is my favourite as well. Just from a sonic.
Do you know what I think for me?
What's that song? Look What You've Done.
Such a banger.
Do you know, such do you know the thing is, yeah, was Drake,
the
yeah.
intro on that track, is on that album as well, with Skylar Grey or whatever. Yeah.
Listen,
over my dead.
Even, you see, even Lord knows, yeah.
Yes.
Come on.
Yes.
Come on.
Yes.
You know, because it's late night drive when you're listening to it and you're just like,
Just
deep in it. Like,
If I'm listening to Lord knows,
yes,
I want to be like
and it's
on
good
an
for the
A2.
Soul.
No,
I want to be on an A2. Lord knows, I'm heavy, I got my weight up.
After the studio, yeah. Take Care just sounds so amazing in the car.
Yeah.
Seriously.
It does.
It hits every spot.
Every.
It's that good.
Yeah.
Your ears will just be.
But do you know what? Do you know what I loved? Yeah, flipping you and the Six.
Oh, yeah. Music the Six was good.
Yeah, but see, you know, that
I've one favorite song on that album, yeah, and that's the Mary J. Blige
Western Road Flows. That's my favorite. I play that every day. It's the sample, it's the Mary J. Blige
and Keep
sample.
The Family like, Close, yeah. Yeah, you know that yeah, one, that one in
it's lit.
I like Connect though.
Western Road Flows. Do you know? You know what? Like, I think it's. I think Drake's got a. I think Yara's right. I think Drake's got to take a B miss.
Yeah, stance now. Yeah.
You see all the big artists do it. Adele's what? Yeah. She's only released 3 albums.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
look how big she is. Like being missed actually works to your advantage.
100%. Even Ed Sheeran, like, do you know what I mean? Like, yeah, he does it best as well.
A year
I
off think, and then what?
I think yeah. Drake's thing is. I think Drake's thing is that I have to stay on top at all times.
No, but he's not. Go on.
I have to stay on top at all times because somebody could take my spot,
but I don't feel like
I don't feel like anyone could. Yeah,
I think you don't want to saturate everyone with everything.
But he really has. I mean?
No, but as in you don't want
to
continue.
No, I don't think
down.
He's got to that saturation point still.
You don't think so?
No, I don't think so. You know,
he's selective.
I feel like if he takes time off now, let him just sleep for a bit, and he'll be alright.
Yeah,
let him be gone for like. If because he said he'd be back 2018 and Do Not Disturb. That was the last track on the playlist. Yeah, be back 2018. If he's going to come back 2018, I beg, near the end of the year.
Yeah, let it be a late 2018. That's what I was going to say.
It's
let
so
it be a late
true,
thing.
Man.
It's true.
Like, take your time. Really sit down and, you know.
Because you know the thing about Drake projects, yeah? It's one of them ones where you're waiting for it to come out so you can slap them tweets up. That you know them?
Yeah.
You know them?
Quotables.
You're waiting for them quotables. And I feel like he needs to live in order to get them quotables
there.
So
yeah,
he needs to learn something.
He needs to learn
go
things.
Through go something.
Yeah,
you know them
needs
ones
to go
there.
Through a couple things.
Yeah.
Go and love a few women. Go,
do you know what
go.
I mean?
You know,
that's two or three. No, not love a few women. Had enough of women on Drake.
Yeah, like, let's get hard with it now.
Yeah,
like
innit? Like, go get into a fight.
Yeah, he
or
needs to come greasy.
He's come greasy with it now.
Greasy with it.
Go get into a fight or something.
Go get into a fight.
What if you dropped a thing with Skep?
With Skepta?
Yeah.
That would be a terrible
like level. Half and half.
Do you think so?
Yeah, man.
I think that would be wavy.
I think that'd be so dead, bruv.
It'll be very underwhelming.
You think?
Yeah, it would be.
Drake spanned him on Joy Legba on that Whiskey song.
Oh, yeah.
No, he didn't.
Very
No, he didn't. No, come off that, man. Skepta span Drake.
Okay, personal opinion.
That is fine, yeah, personal opinion. Your opinion's wrong.
That is so true. Yara, what's going on with Psycho and you lot and your 14-year contracts that artists can't get out of?
What do you mean, bro?
Because, fam, I heard, I went to a music seminar. Ridian was there and he said...
Is Ridian still signed with them?
Well, no, he's not because he got out of it. But apparently, before they get on the show, they have to sign contracts to say... You don't have to disclose this information,
right.
Of course.
To be honest, I don't know.
Okay, cool.
But I wouldn't assume so. I think they have to sign contracts in order, if they get further along in the process, that they can't sign with any other label unless there's a discussion had about Psycho.
Right, because they would, obviously, they're on TV, other labels will just pick them up.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. Okay. I think there's that, but...
Oh, so it's kind of like a...
Because that's, for example, with James Arthur.
Yeah.
James Arthur was obviously signed to Psycho for a bit.
Yeah.
Then he got dropped from the label because he wasn't doing very well.
Yeah.
Then he went to go and sign with Sony in Germany.
Oh.
Right? He got an international deal with Sony in Germany.
Yeah.
But Psycho only have him for UK sales. So, but that's not a 14-year thing.
No, that's just a get-out clause.
Came back and did really well.
That's what I'm saying. But because he signed with another label. He didn't come and sign back with us. He only signed with us for UK.
Okay.
But Germany done international.
He's smart.
They're smart. So does that mean that they can't penetrate the UK market at all?
Who?
That international label.
No. Because
So our label deal with all his UK stuff. So if he's doing a UK tour, they'll deal with it.
Okay.
Any sales in UK, they get. But then everywhere else, they can't touch it.
That's a good comeback.
Yeah.
What happened to like Alexandra Burke, Leona
that's
Lewis, all
question.
These? This is mad. Like, obviously, you were. This is. Before you
yeah, I have no idea, but Alexandra's doing Slim Fast still.
Yeah,
Hey, isn't that the auntie?
I'm actually dying.
Wait, is that the auntie?
She's proper sipping that drink, boy. Like,
she's there, yeah. She's like, Slim Fast is the one for me. I was like, what? Like,
Imagine she's sipping the drink. Yeah, oh, she is.
Like, she's fully enjoying the juice. Like, do you know what I mean?
Hopefully she's enjoying it.
Nah, but at least Slim Fast get mainstream adverts though, bro. You know them
she's
ones.
She's doing sister act though. She did sister act for a little while on theater.
That's what happened.
She was doing theater for a bit, yeah.
Leona Lewis was set to be the next money, Mariah Carey.
Don't look down on it, bro.
Do you know what is mad though? If Leona was released recently, she would have blown, bruv. Leona Lewis. But I think the time that she was released, no one really like the music industry wasn't what it was, so no one really appreciated her sound, didn't it?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But if Leona Lewis was released recently, she would have blown, fam.
I agree with you.
She would have done a different thing.
Especially with all this social media. Yeah, and, like, man,
she
would have done well.
She just would have been the Black Adele.
Basically. Because her voice is. Keep bleeding.
Obviously, released different tracks, but she would have just been the Black Adele. That would have been good. That song was about
them. That song is
about. And she was all upside down on the bed at that. Like.
Why are there no more expensive videos nowadays? Like, I used to miss, like,
because the cheap thing looks authentic, isn't it? Mm. Yeah, no, but there are, you know, don't get twisted, these budgets are out here getting long, bruv.
Swear.
Budgets are mad. Yeah.
What's the most expensive video shoot? Was it the Beyonce one? Wasn't it Kennedy's one, Victory?
Busta Rhymes.
I love
stuff like that. That's a heavy insurance. So, you know, that big boy Busta Rhymes. If that weight is 1 kilo over,
you're skinny back then.
I'm not sure how much Beyonce's one cost. You know, when she had to get the thing flooded.
Formation.
Remember,
but that was green screen. You know,
was it?
Yeah.
Was it?
No, that can't be green
screen. No way.
I saw a wavy. I saw a Twitter picture and she's standing like, and there's a massive green screen behind her and she's on top of the police car.
It had to be, because how are you gonna
had to be an indoor pool. Michael, and plus they stole footage from up and coming director, by the way, for that.
Oh, did they?
Lena Matsoukas, who's the
Michael Jackson's Scream video cost.
Yeah, I remember that.
How did that cost a million? That looked like.
You remember when,
like,
they jumped from the ground onto their knees in that video?
Yeah.
But that doesn't make sense. How is that a million? It just feels like as if you know when you go to a photo shoot, it's like you just got white paper in front of you and then
I don't know why it cost a million, but they were smashing bare stuff and
visual effects was back then. Like, I don't know.
Maybe.
Do you know what I mean? Because the CGI and that was a lot.
Maybe the clothes that they had to wear. If I miss Michael
Jackson, bro.
I actually do, bro. The things that they were smashing up. They were doing some next upside down thing. I don't know if you put some next anti-gravity things in there, boy.
Money though. So big budget.
A million.
Yeah, people want this kind of rustic like vibe now. Authentic. They don't really authentic, homegrown, earthy.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Outside the block
stuff. These UK rappers, they need to step it up, man. No more outside the block videos.
Nah, but it's real, isn't it? It's real life.
I don't care about real life. Okay, I do care about real life. But like, not these dead videos. No, honestly, man, these videos directors, they really need to use their creativity. They need to use their creativity because how many times am I going to see Mandem in balaclavas and their hoodies and they're just outside the block?
You got to represent the ends, man.
You got to represent.
Mandem, you know.
That was the Beyonce one, was the most. Oh, the Michael Jackson.
Like, because now, if he was to do that same video now, it would cost about 7 mil.
Why? What was in that video, bro? I don't get it.
Instead of glass, just smash it up. Do you know what was a dope video? Busta Rhymes and Janet Jackson.
Oh,
Maybe think of it, sorry. Anyway, throwback.
But yeah, no, that, yeah, the video is.
You some mad thing, bro.
That's expensive.
I'm trying to think. How does an artist rebrand after some bad PR? Like, or they did something really bad?
They need a good team behind them.
Like, PR talking, bad. Is there anything such as bad
Chris
PR?
Because I feel like he could have been that Beyonce level.
Yeah.
He could have been.
I always say
he could have been Michael Jackson level.
How does someone recover from that?
I don't know, man. I just think there's certain things that you do that you just. Not that you can't come back from, but it's peak. Like, you know, one of them ones. Like, that whole... And the thing... not to say that if he had battered a normal person it would have been all right, but because it was Rihanna, it was a huge story, innit?
But it made her famous.
It worked in her favor though.
Bro, Rihanna was Rihanna, bro.
No, but she wasn't Rihanna.
She came out with Good Girl Gone Bad after that fight, innit?
Yeah.
Was it?
No.
Good Girl Gone Bad was already out, bro.
Yeah, it was, bro.
I'm not sure.
What? Umbrella?
It was out, bro.
She came out with the thing rated R. After that. Yeah, okay, or so even during. Then. But Good Girl Gone Bad was like her first album.
But
no,
that wasn't.
No,
one
it
of
weren't.
Her first. Music or whatever.
I think it was her second. Music of the Sun.
Yeah, bro, that's a real rebirth, boy.
And then you had another one, and then it was.
And Good Girl Gone Bad.
Wait, deep it though, yeah.
But Chris Brown, it made her famous.
No, man.
No publicity.
Yeah,
no bad publicity.
There's no such thing as bad publicity.
That's the one I'm looking for.
It's
yeah.
It's
a lie.
Do you think it's a lie?
I think it's to Rihanna's favor.
I think people started backing her more.
Obviously, it depends on what side of the PR you're on, whether you're the perpetrator or whether you're the victim. Obviously.
Yeah.
But I'm saying, like, me personally, I don't believe in that. I don't believe in that stuff because if you come out of a sexual thing, that's long.
I believe in that.
R. Kelly does a madness, bruv. How can you pee on a girl and still be able to go on tour?
Yeah.
That's wild, man.
But people do.
I believe in it because of what you said previously when you were talking about Zayn leaving One Direction. The song, is it Dropping or Dragging Me Down? Yeah, basically said it will seem like they're talking about Zayn or it will have some sort of relation, right? That's gossip.
You know what I mean?
Right?
It's gossip.
So now for Rihanna getting beaten up, God forbid for anyone to that happen, for that to happen to anyone else. When Rihanna then, when she announced or whatever that, oh, I'm going to release a new album or a new track, everyone was thinking, is she going to talk about Chris Brown? Is she going to talk about that?
Yeah, but this is what I'm saying.
And
it depends
what
on.
Makes people push more to
100%, but it depends on who. Is receiving that bad press because Chris Brown is on a wave back then.
Just dropped Exclusive.
That's my favorite Chris Brown album ever.
That album, Exclusive.
It's so wavy.
Like, it was, I think it was number one. Wavy. It dropped to like 100 something after he beat up Rihanna.
And you know what is mad? After he done that whole thing with Rihanna, even in Sony, in our building or whatever, I remember like they couldn't. Because we have like TVs in our canteens and stuff where we play like Sony artists. They didn't even used to play his music anymore. None of his music videos were allowed to be played. And I remember it vividly. Yeah. Because I even remember, I was like, oh, what about that? We don't play Chris Brown. I was like, oh, swear. Like, what, you know what I mean? No, not anymore. Yeah. But
we forgive him now. Yeah. She forgave him, so we forgive him.
It was peak for him still.
He could have lost everything.
Yeah.
He's lucky. And then he dropped I Can Transform You during the whole graffiti album.
That was trash.
And he dropped that tune. I was just like,
there was like two songs
that
were good on there.
Doing is not dropping anything.
Yeah.
You should like go into the quiet. Listen, I'm going to apologize to everybody.
And do you know what's mad as well? I think he, after the fact, he went to an interview. And I think they started asking him about it again. My man even ripped off his t-shirt, getting vexed.
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah,
he walked out of the interview. Didn't he keep on having fights
with people after that as well, like outside club?
Yeah, like didn't he go? He went MTV TRO and mashed up the set or something like that. I can't remember, man.
But
he was just doing bare things.
Yeah, I think the pressure's be on him. Like, cause you know,
he's been it from young, man. He's been in it
since he was 16.
But they should all take a note. Well, no, actually,
do you like?
To be honest, no one has it. When you're in the music industry young, there's a lot of pressure.
Cause you have to grow up in front of the camera, innit?
Everything you do is peak. Michael Jackson. Look at Chris Brown. Like. Even Justin Bieber had his.
What's his name, bro?
Crazy Justin. JB. Justin. Now. He had his crazy bit because I remember all I used to hear was him attacking paparazzi. Remember, and he was having fights outside clubs as well.
Yeah.
Great, isn't it? Great stuff, isn't it?
That's great stuff.
It gets to you to a point of like, leave me alone. Like, I'm not, like, I'm not normal because of you guys coming around taking pictures. I'm not normal because I can't have a simple like meal without getting bothered.
Yeah,
stuff
but,
like that.
But that's the industry you're in, isn't it? You have to take the
L. When you're young, did you ask for it when you were young? That's the question. That's the thing.
But yeah, this is
no. But you know what comes with it. You know, no, it's not like
Michael Jackson. Five, bro.
Oh,
five.
No.
He recorded. Okay, five, yeah, yeah, he that, recorded. I treated you bad, and I wonder what song is that?
Who's loving you?
Yeah, yeah, that one. He was nine when he recorded that.
Damn.
He was nine when he.
Okay,
recorded
so okay.
That. So this is what I'm saying. He had that fame
at that age. At okay, that age. I understand.
You don't
if
ask
you're
for that.
Big Chris Brown at 15, 16, you know what comes with it.
Mm.
You know what comes with it.
Let me talk to you as a 15-year-old. What comes with being a singer? That will be famous. Girls, money.
Fame.
He's not thinking about the whole paparazzi, no privacy, yeah, none of that. He's thinking about shoes. He's thinking about clothes, cars, girls, all that stuff.
But to be fair, yeah, I understand that. But I think that we shouldn't take the responsibility away from not only them as competent human beings,
yeah,
but also whoever's around them. So it would be their parents or their management or whatever, because you can pattern stuff like that. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
course,
you don't have
course.
To be, you do, as a 15, 16 year old, you shouldn't be in the clubs looking for girls anyway.
No,
point blank.
There, you know, 21 is
exactly.
There.
So it's one of them ones where you have to pattern it. Like, there are artists, for example, like Alessia Cara. Mm. You don't see her doing them type of things there because, but she's not even that young, to be fair. She's like maybe 19, 20 or something like that. Mm-hmm. But she, you don't see her doing all of that madness because she probably has a family behind her who tells her the real. Do you know what I mean? Like, she's not where she shouldn't be or whatever. And that's the type of responsibility you have to take as an artist. You need to learn that. You have to deep it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I think labels, when it comes to young children like that, they should either bring counsellors or people that can talk to these artists.
100.
Like,
not even,
even
the
if
label,
it's like a
parents,
month.
Even
yeah, but that's the thing. Some parents will get gassed
some
off the money.
Are scumbags,
like Michael Jackson. Joe Jackson, he's the reason why Michael ended up the way he was. Of course, Michael gained a lot from it, like a lot of good. But because he was so young and he was getting pushed by his dad, them lot were doing shows in the evening, literally going to bed at like 3 o'clock in the morning and then having school the next day to do a show that evening again. So like, they'll need someone outside. If I slap one of these.
Why would I just say that though? Like, rubbish. But yeah, good.
Yeah, but so like, I think family, some families are very tight and they're connected so that you can say, the family should look out for their whoever's going through it. However, I feel like there should be some sort of like counselling or just like mentoring.
You should have that in-house.
Do you know what I mean? Your
I
rise
agree,
to fame.
Like,
especially if you're like
it,
younger
you're
than 18.
In the spotlight.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And I kind of get where Joe Budden's coming from with Lil Yachty. Now, remember when Yachty?
Oh my gosh, what's going on today?
I don't like this.
Yachty.
Redhead. There's two redheads. So yeah, Lil Yachty, yeah. When he was like, I'm enjoying life, I'm loving life, all this stuff. Da, da, da,
that's
da.
Not true happiness.
And he was like, that's not true. You can't be happy. He's like, I'm happy. And he's like, no, you can't. Like, I see where he's coming from because he's young. He's like, what, 18, 19?
He's 19, yeah.
He hasn't hit hard life yet. Like, do you know what I mean? He hasn't come to that point where even Kendrick spoke about it when he got to like 27. That's when he started clocking like everything that was going on. Mm. He was like, actually, this is all long. Like, started thinking about people treating him wrongly, like record labels doing him wrong with like stuff like that, all that kind of stuff.
They start
so
to deep it.
Yeah, they start to deep it, and then it will get to them, and then they'll get to a place of like,
nervous breakdown.
That's what happened to Kanye.
Mariah Carey was owned, bro.
Britney Spears.
And Britney Spears shaving off hair.
Yeah.
It's not funny. Lil Yachty's album didn't even do well anyway.
Well, there you go.
He'll clock it soon.
He'll clock it.
I can't even remember the numbers.
Do you guys have crisis teams, though?
You know, like
public figures, you know, like Scandal and that, how they'll have people that, like, you know, crisis teams they bring in. Like, I think, what's his name's doing one at the moment? Bobby Valentino over this whole.
Oh, yeah.
He's brought in a crisis team, apparently. Do you guys have that as labels?
Not specifically within labels, if I'm being honest, but. I think each label should, and I think do, take some sort of responsibility when it comes. So, for example, obviously, artists have managers, and that's kind of looking after the artist on a day to day is more so their responsibility than record labels. Yeah. But for example, if we know that an artist is going through a period in their time, I know especially within Psycho anyway, we make sure that we give them that time. Yeah. So there's no kind of pressure on a work front if we know that an artist is going through something. You know what I mean? We just try and support them as much as possible. But yeah, it's a hard life still. I mean, even with my own management company, I make sure that my girls are all right first. And even if, like, I've never believed that you have to be a dickhead in business. I just don't believe that. And I feel like if I'd rather people that I work with respect me as opposed to fear me. So my thing is that, like, if you need to do something, I will be there for you as a human being and be like, okay, cool, like, you deal with this. I'll sort out everything else on the rest. But trust and believe that when everything is all right on that end, I need you to manage that now because you're all right now. Do you know what I mean? And teamwork makes the dream work at the end of the day. But yeah, I would like to think that there's support for artists when they need it.
When they need it, yeah. It's not so pressured.
Yeah,
it's good because if they're not okay, their music
it's
won't
true,
be okay.
Yeah.
Music okay, and then the money won't be okay. Do you know what I mean?
Okay,
yeah, that's true.
And we're not okay with that.
We're not okay with that.
Yeah, exactly.
What do you think about the idea that record labels are basically banks with contacts?
True.
Oh.
I think, go on.
I'd love to get signed. If I was an artist, yeah, I'd love to get signed.
So you can't be in debt. You're basically doing mortgage.
Chill. Let me finish. I'd love to get signed just because, do you know what it is? Yeah. Right now, there's this thing where, what's it? Independence is the thing. You know, do it yourself. Great. Love it. But some people don't deep how much needs to be done.
It's true.
You know, like, it's you got to do your own marketing. You got to do your own PR. Let's say you're signed to a label, you're probably gonna get a distribution deal as well. Like, imagine, like, apparently, I don't know if Skepta has one yet, but I don't think he does, because when he did an interview with Time Out, yeah, and basically his house that his parents gave to him, they had CDs in there. Right. So can you imagine? You have to go and ship it to a store. That's long. Mm. I'm not doing that. If I'm signed, I don't have to do any of that. Mm. Take me to the booth, record, I'm done.
Take half of my earnings.
It's done for me. It's true. You know? So I think it goes back to what Stormzy said. Like, find something that works for you.
Yeah.
Like, Jay Huss is signed. Jay Huss is doing very well. Krypton Conan are signed. They did very well with their debut album. You know, Stormzy's found something that works for him. He's only got a distribution deal, and the rest his team does. Great. You find what works for you. I don't think that's not for me to say that I don't believe that. That's not for me to say that I like labels and I think that it's the way forward, but they're there for a reason and it helps. It will help certain artists. It's not everybody
absolutely
has to be independent.
And everyone doesn't have a team around them, and everyone doesn't know how to play the game of the industry, and that's true. But again, I still believe that the role of major labels is decreasing, like it's depleting. Do you know what I mean? Because you've got people like flipping Chance the Rapper, you've got all these independent artists that are just smashing it, and it's music is ultimately about building a loyal fan base. That's what it means. Record labels can do it quicker because they have the reputation, they have the money, they have the access, right? And they have the knowledge, and knowledge is very important. But I think that even with my girls, the girls that I manage, I'd rather them build a reputation within themselves, by themselves. If they want to sign with a label, cool. If a label works for them, amazing. But I just think there's something about, why would you give a piece of your cake to someone who never helped you make it? That's my thing. So my thing is this: if you can make your own cake, if you have all the ingredients, if you have the equipment to make it, everything, you know exactly what measurements you need, whatever, you put that cake in the oven, you take it out. Why is it that, you know, someone that that had no input in that specific cake take the biggest chunk out of it?
What
that don't make no damn sense to me.
What if you can only make a cupcake?
But that's what I'm saying. That's why it depends on what works for you. Like, I never knock artists that sign to labels. I think it's a great achievement, because for you to actually do that is actually it's actually a big thing. But again, like, I encourage, because I've just always believed in being a master at what you do.
Of course.
And I think as long as you can own that,
yeah,
then you'll always do well in some way.
Mm-hmm. And I think about like this. I see Spotify, Apple Music, those guys are as the new record labels. The reason I say that is because they are the machine, you know?
Yeah.
Like the new distribution channels.
Yeah, yeah, they're the new distribution channels. So for me, look at what Drake has done. Look at what Drake is not a good example. Chance the Rapper is a great example. When he dropped Coloring Book, it was available on Apple Music exclusively for them for a time period.
They paid him 500K for that.
Gave him 500K for it.
Just for the 2 weeks.
Just for 2 weeks. Mm. So for me, I see that as a better avenue than signing to a label. Obviously, I don't know what the deal consists of if they, you know, if they own their masters. I doubt it. But, you know, there are new avenues. And, you know, funny thing is, in this world that we live in right now, everything is up for disruption.
Mm-hmm.
Every industry. Music is one of them as well. So the labels can't believe, they can't in their right minds think that they're going to be the gatekeepers forever.
Mm.
We're in a time where things are changing. First it was the internet, then it was iTunes, now Apple Music, Spotify, Google Music, all of them, they're now the new disruptors. Mm. And they, in my opinion, they're the new record labels, because Drake is signing exclusive deals, Chance the Rapper signing an exclusive deal, Stormzy was on Beats One, he had his own show, then Giggs had his own show, you know. There were new avenues that you don't really have to sign to a label.
You don't.
You know.
You don't have to. You don't have to. I think that's the key thing.
If you get a buzz, if you're able to generate a buzz for yourself, yeah, that's all you need. Because me, yeah, I'd rather have the exposure than money. Because then I'll be able to generate money for myself.
Yeah.
You know.
I think what's interesting as well is that labels are taking the kind of independent routes with some of their artists. So I know of people who have been signed to labels, you won't know, but they'll be putting up YouTube videos and stuff like that. And you're like, oh, who's this independent kind of artist? But really, it's the label that's telling them to start doing that kind of avenue.
It's artist development,
isn't
it?
It's artist development. So
I know someone that signed to Disturbing London, but I can't say it out loud, though.
Yeah.
I'll get in trouble.
Okay. So how does one get signed, Yara?
It's a very good question, man. Again, just do your groundwork, innit?
Yeah.
Just try and build your socials as much as possible. Do as much studio time. Mingle with as many people as you can. Try and write your own things as well. Mm-hmm. That's always great. Everyone loves a singer-songwriter.
Yep. Make money that way too.
Yeah, and literally just pester.
Mm-hmm.
Pester A&Rs. Find their email templates, email them.
Sick.
If they don't respond to you the first time, email them 5 times. Do you know what I mean? Just be persistent in that way. But again, building your own buzz is always great. And when you do something with the intention of doing it, people will respect you regardless. Do you know what I mean? Like, people respect you regardless. Ray, she's been putting out music on SoundCloud. She's been doing that stuff. And there are so many like platforms like The Vibe Guide on YouTube that has like a few million subscribers. And they put up new music, and it reaches a wide range of people.
Color as well, you know about color.
Yeah, color's Berlin. Dope. It's amazing. Yeah. Mm. So yeah, just those kind of platforms, like depending obviously what genre of music you're into, whatever. Mm. But then just building those kind of numbers, putting yourself together a little press pack,
sick,
and just approaching people. Sick. Like BBC introducing is a great way of doing things.
Yeah.
Do a bag of shows, because A&Rs are always at open mic night shows. Like, you never know who you're gonna bump into, man. No. But just stay grafting. It's a hard industry to get into. It's very, very, very difficult.
Mm.
But yeah, just do your thing, innit?
Just to keep doing your thing.
Yeah.
There's one question I had as well, yeah. Stormzy tweeted the other day about, he said something about gotta stay prayed up in this devilish industry.
Mm-hmm,
yeah?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm hearing a lot of like artists of late having similar sentiments here towards it. What is it about the industry that makes it that way? I know Ed Sheeran has had to take time out as well. Like,
yeah,
is it just bare backstabbers that way? Is like, oh,
everyone just wants to make money, innit?
Mm.
And it's an industry where you want to have the number one artist in the world. You want to have a number one. So it's a very selfish, cutthroat, arrogant industry. It's a very arrogant industry, and you will find that a lot of the people that you work with are, they know that they're a part of one of the most arrogant industries on planet Earth, and they move like that a lot of the time. And a lot of the time when creativity conflicts with business, it's a big mind F. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if I can swear or not, but let me just say F.
Yeah, F is cool.
It's a big mind F, right? And because of that reason, it will always depress you to a certain extent that you're because essentially music is an expression. So if you can't express what you want to express because your label doesn't agree with it, or, you know, you can't release your album this week because another artist who's quote unquote better than you is releasing it on the same week, so you have to delay it and all these things, it's a lot. Plus it's very time consuming, and, you know, again, music is an art form, so it consumes every single bit of your energy and your soul. Yeah. It's a very soul invasive industry, it really is. Mm-hmm. And you have to be very thick-skinned to be a part of it, or you have to have a team that just handles it.
Because people either like what you're doing or they don't.
Yeah.
And you've bared your soul.
Yeah. And it's very hard. Everything is about money. Money, 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 money. And it's mad because even for like people like Stormzy, I know somewhere in the back of his mind, it will always be in the back of his mind that he tried to be where he is a couple years ago and no one gave him an opportunity. So now that he's popping and now that he's done it on his own and people are ringing his line all the time, it's one of them ones where in order for him to excel, he has to answer those calls.
Yeah.
But it's still like, rah, you lot are the pagans that never try give me man a shot. Like that's what it's always gonna be. For especially for artists like Stormzy who had to graft and graft to get where they wanna get to. So
like them old Donnies, like in Graham that he was talking about, that them man that don't allow the new guys to do whatever it is they want, you know.
I just think it's mad that like as soon as you start blowing it, it's like people just start flocking towards you.
Yeah.
Take this deal. Do you want to be a part of this campaign? People that
brands.
Yeah, brands. All of this, they just want a piece of you. I can understand, man.
Ooh, Adidas must be laughing to the bank. Last year, what Stormzy did last year for
they
them.
Backed him. But they backed him from day though. Yeah, like Adidas is one of them great brands. Like they really backed him. Yeah. So
why don't Nike do that? Because I feel as if that Adidas are more into the lifestyle.
Nike thing. Is too prestige, man.
Yeah.
Like Nike is like the luxury. Nike is like a luxury brand of sport.
Yeah.
It really is. Adidas is for the people. Like,
don't think because we're wearing Nike Karachis, they're for the culture.
They're not for the culture still.
They're really not for the culture. Is it Adidas like that?
Yeah.
Because I would have thought they're on the same level, because we talk about prestige, but Adidas have been around since the 1940s.
Doesn't matter though. Adidas's demographic is very different to Nike's.
Very much so. I think it's more broadly spread. Like you can, like a senior banker in investment bank will wear a Nike fit thing to the gym. Do you know what I mean? But then we'll wear Huaraches or whatever. Do you get what I mean? It's like, whereas Adidas, I feel like it's a bit more urban.
Yeah, I agree. Urban is the word.
Yeah.
I understand, but I think. Do you know what it is? No, I get you. No, you're right. Because I think what Adidas do, that they're able to differentiate between the two brands that they have. Of course, they have like Adidas for athletes, and then you have Adidas Originals. Mm. Whereas Nike, I think Nike do the same thing as well, but it's not, the lines are blurred.
Not on that Stormzy level.
They collaborate with athletes. Do you know what I mean? Nike they want to push that whole sports, fitness, athletic. That's what they want to be pushing. They don't give two shits about.
It's cool.
Sorry.
It's cool. It's actually
cool. Keep going. They don't care about music. They don't care about all these other genres, all these other industries. They're more so like luxury, performance,
sport, athletics.
That's what they're about still.
But they do collabs with some artists. In a sense, what's that guy? ASAP Berg before he lost.
I mean, like, Nike will send trainers to people, or like actors or whatever. But it's like every brand does that. But on a scale that like what Adidas would do with like Stormzy's and whatever, nah. unheard of, really.
Adidas are the only one, aren't they?
Puma do it sometimes. Puma, like, do. Puma do it with Crepton Conan.
They send trainers to bare people. I think it was Rebecca Garten, where she got bare trainers. Mm.
Yeah, because she's. I don't know if she signed with Crepton Conan, but I know she's part of the team.
Yeah, she was on their album.
Yeah, she was. That's all of my questions, but I don't.
I actually just got one more, just to go back to cooking.
That's all right, bro.
Yeah.
All right,
cool. No, I just wanted to know. So obviously, Cookie Jar is a management company tailored for females. So I wanted to.
So I wanted to know,
who are the up and coming female acts in the UK that we should be looking out for?
Up and coming.
Yeah.
It's mad. Oh, that's a good question.
Thank you.
Ooh.
That is a good question.
Well, just to plug my own flipping artist, yeah, Mango and Lashes, Rara, you know what I mean?
I'll check them out.
Mango and Lashes are amazing. I think they're going to genuinely do very well, not just because they're my artist, but I think they genuinely will do. I don't know. Like, honestly, I think the people that are doing well now, like, I think Ray in a few years is going to blow.
Mm-hmm.
Georgia Smith, obviously.
Yeah.
Got a lot more to do. More to come. Yeah. With Bruno Mars, who's doing really well. I'm not sure, man. That's a really good question. I have to think about that deeply. You might get back to you.
You have to get back to me.
I will.
Back on another episode, yo.
I will do.
Cool. Well, I guess that's it, guys. Thank you for listening. Thank you, Yara, for being here today. I'm sure we all really appreciate it, guys.
Thanks for having me.
It was lit, man.
Thanks, man. It was proper lit. You lot are so cool, man. Thanks for having me in here. Honestly.
Stop, man.
You lot are sick still. Thank you.
We trying.
You did that still.
Well, it's been your boys, Afro, Michael, and Enoch.
Yeah.
And Daniel. We out.
Peace.
You're